Welcome to our first physical service of social distancing. We are not allowed to sing in the course of the service, but when I came in, I heard many people chatting, so that's all right. But we are not allowed to sing. We are allowed only to listen. And may I ask us to spend this time of listening and reflection whenever the music is played. Let us think through the words and let us reflect on them. This is the beginning of a four-week trial for us, and after that we will evaluate again and see how far we have come. I'm sure that there are many of our congregation members who are still a bit skeptical about joining us, but with time, they will come to join us. So welcome. And let us begin this morning as we listen to the wordings of the psalmist. Psalm 86, verse 1 to 11. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God, have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord, listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Let us worship God. The first hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let the whole earth be joyful in you, O God. We greet you with gladness and celebrate your presence with a song. For we know that you are creating us, you are alive in us, and we belong to you. We enter your gates with joyful procession, but we enter with heartfelt thanksgiving and joy. For you are gracious and your embrace is compassionate, faithful through all generations. Thank you, O God, for bringing us back to this space to worship you. Forgive us, loving God, for the winding path upon which you have to travel always to find us. As we bend to the selfish influences of our culture, we lose sight of your intended will for us. We often live by fear rather than by faith because we underestimate your power to heal the parts of us that are broken. At the same time, we fail to correct the parts of us that have drifted from your influence. Bring us back to you so that we might respond to your grace, living it each day. Give us the courage to give you unhindered access to all of who we are. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to them and proclaim that they have suffered long enough, that their penalty is paid and their sins are forgiven. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the word of grace. Even those who are young grow weak. The young can fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow weak. Christ, the light of the world, empower us to live as lights in this dark world of sin. Our next hymn, The Splendor of the King. How great is our God. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, reading verses 5 to 9. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. And the second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, and may God bless these readings of his holy word.
To God's name be glory and praise. We listen again to that beautiful hymn, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Thank you. At least you were able to do something, even if not singing, clapping your hands. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, and in our living. I pray this morning, O Father, for any who have come to worship this morning with burdens in their hearts, longing that they be lifted. And I ask you for lasting peace for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. Worry is a common phenomenon in our world because people often feel anxious or troubled about actual or potential problems. That feeling of fear and panic. And when we face stressful situations, it can set off the inbuilt alarm bell system of our brains, which tells us something is not right and that we need to deal with it. Our brains want the difficult situation to go away, so it makes us feel more alert, stops us thinking about other things, and even pumps more blood to our legs to help us run away. So most of us worry about relationships. We worry about our finances and the lack of it to solve problems, and about our health situations, whether we are healthy or sick and need to see the doctor, often with long hours of waiting these days. And we worry too about the good life, our jobs and the world's situation, be it climate change or immigration, be it poverty and the widening gap between the poor and the rich. So we worry, and we worry almost about everything in life. But does worry or anxiety ever solve the problems that we worry about? Hear how Corrie ten Boom makes worrying a punishment and a useless attitude for those who dwell in anxiety. This is what he writes. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Apart from the individual concerns we all share, I think one of the things that have brought so much anxiety to people recently is the COVID-19 pandemic. Since March of this year, when the world fully came to terms with the reality that a global health problem had erupted, all of us have been in fear and panic. There has been anxiety about homeschooling. How does everyone suddenly become a teacher in our homes, classrooms? There has been anxiety about losing our jobs and not being able to meet our needs and feed our families. Anxiety about the prospect of contracting the virus and even dying from it. Anxiety about not being allowed to meet and greet family members and friends, or to worship God in a way that physically connects us with one another and with Almighty God. And at a time when our church doors are open for worship, there is still so much anxiety concerning breaking any rules the government has put in place for our safety and the safety of others. What about not even being able to sing while in church? So we have been worried about our lives, about what we would eat or drink, and about our bodies, what we will wear. And so we have done exactly what Jesus asks us not to do in Matthew 6:25a. Do not worry about your life, about what you are to eat or what you are to drink, and do not worry about your body, about what to wear. Why? Because your life is much more than food and your body more than clothes. And moreover, who of you can add one span to his or her life by worrying about it? So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Its own troubles are quite enough for the day. Is Jesus not right in stating the foolishness of worrying about things we cannot control or even change? Or things we worry about, mostly in the past, or things that are still to happen? Think of how anxious we have been since the outbreak of the virus. Each passing day, we got a new revelation about COVID-19, how it was spreading, the number of people who were dying from it, and we probably thought we too might be dead by now. However, we are still alive. We are still here. And our heads are still above the water, and yet, if someone told us that we would go through what we have actually experienced and endured during this time of uncertainty, we would have probably said it was impossible. Friend, our anxiety hardly changes anything, and yet worry refuses to learn that lesson of life, namely that somehow we have been enabled to bear the unbearable and to do the undoable and to pass the breaking point and have not been broken. I think the Dalai Lama was insightful when he suggested that if you have fear of some pain or suffering, you should examine whether there is anything you can do about it. If you can, there is no need to worry about it. If you cannot do anything, then there is also no need to worry. Dear friends, worry is unnecessary and even disabling. It can paralyze people and delay their progress in life because of what it does to one's imagination. That is why Jesus says, "Take no thought for tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself." And that command is the way not only to peace, but also to power and certainty. Jesus Christ is not advocating a thoughtless, improvident attitude to life, but forbidding a careworn, worried fear which takes all the joy out of life. He is teaching us to live our lives with a combination of caution and calmness, and not with recklessness and anxiety. The rabbis or teachers of the law taught that people ought to meet life with a combination of prudence and serenity. They insisted that every man must teach his son a trade, for they said, not to teach him a trade was to teach him to steal. That is to say, they believed in taking all the necessary steps for the prudent handling of life. But at the same time, they said, he who has a loaf of bread in his basket and still says, "What shall I eat tomorrow?" is a man of little faith. No wonder Lee Robertson commented that worry is nothing but practical infidelity. A person who worries reveals his lack of trust in God and that he is trusting too much in self. So how do we overcome worry or the feeling of anxiety in our lives? How can a person deal with anxiety? Well, you may wish to try what one fellow did. He worried so much that he decided to hire someone to do his worrying for him. He found a man who agreed to be his hired worrier for a salary of $200,000 a year. After the man accepted the job, his first question to his boss was, "Where are you going to get $200,000 per year?" To which the man responded, "That's your worry." I wonder, dear friends, how it is ever possible for anyone to bear the burden of another. But away from that fictitious story, we come to Jesus Christ, the Master of Life. And Jesus teaches us at least three ways to overcoming worry and anxiety in our own lives. The first is to seek first, to concentrate upon the kingdom of God. And Jesus suggests here that we can deal with worry if we put God at the center of our lives and make him our first love. Now, friends, we all know that when we have great love for something, that love can drive out every other concern. If we love God faithfully, that love would inspire our work, intensify our study, purify our lives, and dominate our whole being. It was the conviction of Jesus that worry is banished when God becomes the dominating power of our lives. That is why Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can be a slave of two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve both material riches and God. If you concentrate on worrying, you might forget the goodness of God. And the second cure for worry is to live one day at a time. Have you ever heard the saying, "Do not worry over tomorrow's evils, for you do not know what today will bring forth"? What if you are not alive tomorrow? Then you would have worried about a world which will not be yours at all. For that reason, Jesus suggests that if each day is lived as it comes, if each task is done as it appears, then the sum of all the days is bound to be good. It is Jesus' advice that we should handle the demands of each day as it comes, without worrying about the unknown future and the things which may never happen. It is difficult to live in and enjoy the moment when you are thinking about the past or worrying all the time about the future. You cannot definitely change your past, but you can ruin your present by worrying about your future. Learn from the past. Plan for the future. The more you live in and enjoy the present moment, the happier you will be. And the third and final cure for worry is trusting God with our cares and being humble under the leadership of Christ. Jesus Christ says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come to you in addition." In 1 Peter 5:6 following, the apostle of the Lord says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And the reason we can cast our burden to Jesus with confidence is because we are certain that God cares for us. We are certain that he who gave his only son will with him give us all things. We are certain that since God cares for us, life is out not to break us, but to make us. And with that assurance, we can face any experience which comes to us, knowing that in everything, God works for good with those who love him. My dear Christian friends, many people become attached to their burdens more than the burdens are attached to them. And our fatigue is often caused not by work, but by worry, frustration, and resentment. What we need for a happy and effectual life in this world is simply to put our work into the Lord's hand and leave it there. Do not take it to him in prayer, saying, "Lord, guide me. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, arrange it for me." And then arise from your knees and take the burden all back again and try to guide and arrange things for yourself. Leave it with the Lord. And remember that what you trust to him, you must not worry over nor feel anxious about. Trust and worry cannot go together. Winston Churchill expressed his regrets about worrying for nothing when he wrote, When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. Cast your fears unto the Lord because he cares for you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living Father, we are grateful to you for this time of worship again in this place. And we thank you, O God, for giving us the courage to come despite our fears and our anxieties. And we thank you, O God, for teaching that lesson this morning, that our worries only double our troubles. Help us to trust you, O Father, and to bring our burdens to you and leave them there. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's my shepherd is our next Let us approach the throne of God's grace on behalf of the church, the world, and one another as we dedicate our offering and intercede. O God, from your providing hand, even the dissatisfied and grumbling receive what they need for their lives. Teach us your ways of justice and lead us to practice your generosity so that we may live a life worthy of the gospel. Make known through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, all that we need to do as we worship you with our lives and with all that we have. Thank you, Father, for calling us early, midday and late in life, to be your disciples and workers in your kingdom's vineyard. Thank you for seeking us to do your work, even when nobody else thinks we are good enough to amount to anything. Give us grace to hear your call and strength to do your will. Thank you for the wages of everlasting life and salvation, and for your pleasure in us. Make the church that place where all may see the fair beauty of Jesus, find shelter in his widespread arms, grow in faith and joy, and labor fruitfully to his glory and for the benefit of others. We pray for those who are living in fear and anxiety for any reasons. We think again of our brothers and sisters in the Anglophone parts of Cameroon, in South Sudan, in parts of Nigeria, in the Middle East, many of them who are facing death and near-death experiences from the military or separatist fighters. Give them courage to honor Christ in their body, to speak and live the gospel with boldness and joy, and to know that they are participating in the suffering of Jesus, and to cast all their anxiety and burdens to you, O Father, for you care for them. As you have granted us the wisdom and courage to reopen our church doors here in Newport, we pray that you would strengthen us in our witness to you in this community and give us assurance of our safety and peace under your care. Help the people of this congregation, Newport-on-Tay Parish Church, to stand firm together, of one spirit, striving to proclaim the gospel by words and deeds. Make us willing to work at whatever task pleases you and draws others closer to you. Make us glad when we come to you, knowing that your grace has drawn us to you. We pray for our young people, especially those considering a vocation to ministry and service in your church. Give them delight in learning and love for your people. Preserve them from the consequences of folly or malice. Use their energy to please you and to serve their neighbor. Grant wisdom to our earthly leaders. Let them seek you while you may be found. Call upon you while you are near, and govern in accordance with your holy will. Graciously grant patience, kindness, and humility to everyone so that we may lead peaceable lives. God our Father, be the light and salvation to those who stand in harm's way to safeguard life and freedom amid warfare and violence. Let them put their trust in you and not be afraid. Cause them to bear the fruits of justice and righteousness, and give them the fair wages of honor, health, and peace when their work is done. Be the safe shelter and solid rock to everyone in times of trouble, and especially to our suffering and struggling brothers and sisters whom we name in the silence of our hearts. Lift them high above the things that assail them and be the strength of their life. Give patience and compassion to all who care for them, especially those whose work is long, hard, and thankless. Restore them to the joy of fellowship with those who love them. We thank you, Father, for those we love who have departed this life and are now with Christ. Though we grieve, we also rejoice, for we know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Give us strength to labor cheerfully in the vineyards of goodness, kindness, forgiveness, and righteousness. Make us as generous to others with those things as Jesus is to us. Make us rejoice to see how many he has redeemed and welcomed into your blessed kingdom. And when we see him face to face, conform our prayers to the heart of Jesus. Hear them through the interceding of your Holy Spirit and grant them in accordance with your gracious will. Amen. We will now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life." If you are tempted to sing, please hum. "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life." And coffee after the service, so please don't go to the hall. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.